Are you ready to go from burned out to blissed out? I'm Rebecca Whitman. I will share with you my 7 pillars of abundance and interview experts that will help you get all 7 areas of your life in alignment so that you can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's get into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show, writing your reviews, sharing it with your friends. Because of all of your support, we are top 1% podcast in the world, and I just so appreciate you. So let's keep the love going. Today, I have a very special guest. Welcome to the show, Chelsea Hussam.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So great to have you here. Let me tell my listeners, and this interview was a long time coming, right? We've been playing reschedule forever. So I've been looking forward to this for a long time. So let me tell you about my wonderful guest. Chelsea is a best-selling author, a speaker, a mom of 2. She's a powerhouse who's conquered life's toughest moments, from trauma to triumph, and continues to shine brighter and brighter. As an entrepreneur of a successful construction company in a male-dominated field, Chelsea's journey inspires so many women and men, proving that grit and resilience can truly build success. She's more than a survivor, guys. She's a force to be reckoned with, ready to teach you how to transform your challenges into victories and to emerge on the other side stronger than ever. So Chelsea, let's hear a little bit about your origin story. I know it's a male-dominated profession, being in construction, being a contractor. How did someone like yourself end up being a leader in the construction field?
Yeah, it is definitely interesting because it was not something I planned. I didn't ever plan to own my own business or be in construction. So I'm from a small town in South Dakota. I have a Spanish degree and a broadcast journalism degree. And for my broadcasting degree, I had to do an internship. So I actually came out to Colorado. Like, South Dakota didn't have a lot of options. So I came out to Colorado to do my broadcasting internship. And so I did that, and then I ended up staying. And then at that point, I kind of didn't know what I was going to do, but the student loans started coming due, and I was like, I just need a job. So I took a temp, like I was worked for a company that did like temp reception work, and I would, you know, go to different companies in downtown Denver and, you know, do that. And then one day the lady's like, you need to meet my sister, her company that she works at is hiring. So she hired me as the receptionist for an experiential marketing and trade show company. So I started there, and then I worked my way up through that company. I worked there about 5 or 6 years. And then I just kind of, my soul was like, I was really stressed out. And it was, I was like, I don't even know if this like matters what I'm doing in the world, right? Like, am I making a difference? And so I was like, I want to move on. I need to do something else. So did some soul searching, decided I wanted to use my Spanish degree. And then I didn't know how to be a teacher. So I ended up quitting and got my master's in education. Then I became a high school Spanish teacher for 10 years. So totally different.
Where were you a high school Spanish teacher?
Kind of all over in the Denver metro area. I taught at 3 total schools in that time. So yeah, and I really loved it until the last year. It was kind of a brutal year, and I just didn't love it all of a sudden. And then I was like, I knew I had to move on, right? But like, what am I doing at that point? I was just like, I have no clue. So I just started applying for random jobs, and no one called me. It was really, really sad. Like, it, you know, and so I ended up taking a job in commercial construction as an office manager for a different company. So that got me into commercial construction, and then really learned the hard way. I barely got trained. I got thrown in. I cried a lot. And But then I started my company in March of 2020 randomly. So, what else are we doing at that time? And I worked both
Exactly.
jobs until April of 22. And then I was just like, I have to step into my company fully. Like, I can't be working two full-time jobs. So, yeah, totally random path that life took me, but it ended up, I ended up here.
So, how much did it cost to start your construction company?
I mean, there's a lot of equipment. It's quite a bit. There's a lot of equipment. You're purchasing numerous vehicles. You're purchasing racks for the vehicles, graphic wraps, all kinds of stuff. I pay like 80 grand a year in insurance. I mean, it's expensive. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely had to cough up some money personally in the beginning to fund it.
Did you have to get a loan, or did you just like deplete your savings and bet it all on this company? Like, how did you do it, or
So
both?
I ended up, well, I thought I would need a loan. And honestly, I kept going to all these banks and they're like, sure, we'll give you like 250 grand, but you have to bring 60 grand cash to the table and you have to do all these things. And it was more just a pain in the butt, honestly. And I'm like, well, if I had 60 grand just sitting there, well, I would just use it. I don't, you know what I mean? Like it just didn't make sense. So I actually ended up deciding I was just at my wit's end and I said to my husband, I'm like, wait, we have a lot of equity in our house. Like, I'm just gonna go get a HELOC and use the equity in my house and I can do whatever I want with the money. I don't have a bank breathing down my neck trying to tell me what to do and you know what I mean? And so it was so much easier.
And
Yeah.
then
And then I was in
how much
control.
was your HELOC for?
It was 100,000.
Okay, so with
Yeah.
100,000, you started this construction company,
Yep.
and that was in March of 2020. And now, how is it doing? Have you paid the 100 back, and are you in profit?
Pretty close, pretty close. Yeah, we're in profit. We've over doubled every year. So it's been really good. And the company's rocking and rolling. We're doing well. I don't need funding anymore. It's funding itself. So it's been really cool.
And what is it like when, you come onto the site, or, they're expecting like a rough and gruff man and you're like a beautiful feminine woman? Like, have you encountered any like shocking like faces? Like, wait, who are you? You're the contractor? Like, what has that been like?
It is a little weird. I do have my hard hat and my boots and like my high-vis vest in my car. So if I'm driving around and I see a site, I just pull over and go on it. And they're not expecting me. And I just kind of march around till I find the trailer and go say, like, who's the electrical company here? And I introduce myself. So yeah, I mean, I definitely get some stares, like, who is, she's just like walking around, like she owns the place. But really overall, I've been really well received. And, like on the site, yes, is definitely different. I have quite a few friends actually that have said this, that they're in like a leadership, they're a female and they're in a leadership position. And they go on a site and they're having a meeting and they have maybe a male colleague with them, and they're doing a huddle, they're standing there having a meeting. And they're like, these men keep looking at my male colleague and he's like, I don't know, it's she's the boss, like she's the one, and so there's like little things like that that a lot of my colleagues that are on job sites more experience. And I have a lot of women friends that have been in construction 20, 30 years. So they have really paved the way for people like me. They were the ones that probably were, they were the only female on a site and they were putting up with more discrimination and more challenges, right? So for me, it's a lot easier now because of things that they've done along the way to kind of help pave the way for me.
And when you have like industry meetings, like what percentage of the contractors are male and what percentage of the contractors are female?
I mean, I've definitely met a lot of women in construction. There's
That's great.
incredible women in Denver and a few women that own their own companies. They're doing like, they have 200 employees. They're doing multi-millions a year, like really amazing women, right? But I mean, yeah, if I go to an event, it's mostly, there are women there, but it's mostly men. It's kind of just a sea of men. And then you see a few women sprinkled in.
Well, I think that's great that you're on the cutting edge of like feminism by, having a successful multi-million dollar construction company in a male-dominated profession. And I remember when I started to go to my first female physicians, like all my life, It had always been male doctors, and then all of a sudden, like, they're mostly women. I'm like, wow. And now, like, there's more women graduating from medical school than men. So who knows? Maybe construction will one day be dominated by women, but at least now you guys are at least making your presence known, which is amazing. So your book is called Good, crossed out good, real vibes only. So what was the meaning behind the title of the book, and what is being real mean to you?
So I love, I had to have the good crossed out because I am a very positive person, but really the point of the book is to be real, vulnerable, authentic, and like the subtitle says, Unapologetic Confessions of a Hot Mess Mompreneur. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm telling stupid stories of things I've done, things I've been through. Some are really traumatic, things I've gone through, but overcome, right? And so I'm just hoping to make people feel connected and give people permission to either own their own story or share their story if they so feel called, right? And heal from anything they've gone through. So I hope by me sharing, just being like out there and just sharing it all and showing how imperfect I am, but I'm just constantly want to be a better person and grow. I just hope I've had people reach out and be like, you're saying what I'm feeling, but like I feel like I'm looking around and everyone's perfect and I'm not. And hopefully I'm shattering that, misconception.
How did you overcome your perfectionism?
I'm not a horrible perfectionist. I kind of just do stuff and then hope for the best. Like I have some friends that are like it really stops them in their tracks to get something out, to put something out, right? And we're like stuck in the planning, right? But kind of,
Analysis paralysis, right?
yes, totally. I mean, but now how I am, I have a list of things, that are priority I want to do, but I'll like proofread an email, but I'll send it out and be like, oops, I spelled that word wrong or whatever. It's like, move on, get it out there. So many people have told me like, just creating is, and it could be messy, is better than perfection and not creating and not putting things out in the world.
Done is better than perfect, right?
Exactly. That's what I was trying to think of. Like,
So
exactly.
why don't you share with my audience one of the hot mess mompreneur stories from your book that maybe they could relate to or give them hope that if this girl can be a successful entrepreneur, maybe I can give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many. I mean, my son, when he was younger, we called him the honey badger. There's so many stories of him in the book of like, when he was like three, climb a 5-foot wooden fence naked and run away. And like my neighbor texted me a picture of him literally just walking down the street naked. Like, you got a streaker. And I was like,
As a
I'm in my
3-year-old,
office. Yeah, I'm in my
was he
office.
wearing
My
shoes?
no, he's just butt naked completely. And I was like, oh my God, he ran away again. I mean, trying to work in my office in my house and then he's running away or just doing all these crazy things. Or he bought like a $1,500 dirt bike on Amazon when he was 5. He couldn't even spell. He just,
What is
I'm
how old is he like, how old is he now, and what is he
now
like?
he's 8. Now he's 8. And yeah, I mean, he was just a handful. Like,
He's
he's
still
such
a
a
wild man
big,
at eight.
spirited child. He's mellowed out. Like, he's definitely really quirky and creative, which I love, but he's not like such a handful. But really, also with him, he was really struggling in kindergarten. And I'm like, what is going on? So, I had to fight, become an advocate for him and fight for him. And we found out he has significant dyslexia. So while, he's in kindergarten, he's just losing it because he can't even make sense of these letters, right? And having to fight and say, there's something going on here. Get him testing, get him, and I finally this year moved him schools to get him the support he needs. And, that's like another full-time job. I would get to a meeting like an hour away and they'd be like, you need to come pick him up. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I have like PTSD from seeing the school district phone number on my phone. Because I'm always like, what now? It's so finally we've gotten past that and he's thriving. But again, like being a mom, being an entrepreneur, thank God I have ownership of my time. But I had to know to like, I need to step back some meetings. He needs me now, Right. And so that's the beauty, I think, of it, that with the ebbs and flows of life, we actually can do that when we're needed elsewhere.
I think having financial flexibility and financial freedom are just, they're such a gift of being entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of risk and a lot of hard
Yes.
work, but that's the price that you pay for that freedom. And
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you have everything
freedom,
on the line, but
everything, but you have
it's the
freedom.
most beautiful thing ever too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, what are some of your wellness practices, self-care? Like, what are your non-negotiables, morning routine? Give us some of those hot wellness tips because you're doing it all. You're a mom, you're a successful contractor, you're now a speaker, author, and you look great.
Oh, thank
So, we
you.
all want to know what are your wellness practices that are non-negotiables?
Yeah, I definitely don't have it perfected. And I do I what I what's really helped me the most is like taking a hard look at how do I feel? How do I feel? If I'm feeling exhausted and overwhelmed and cranky and depressed and whatever, right? Why? Maybe I'm going to too many meetings that week. I had three, let's say I had three night meetings. Like I'm exhausted. I need to pull back. Or, you know, maybe I was coming home drinking a bottle of wine and then the next morning I have a headache. So I skip the gym and then I go eat a greasy cheeseburger because I just feel like crap. You know, it's like snowballs. So for me, it was like it's looking at your habits of what makes you feel really good. And what makes you feel like crap, and getting rid of the stuff that drains your energy and things like that, and focusing on the things that actually, you know, give you more energy, make you feel really good so you can thrive. But for me, I get up at 5:30 in the morning and I go to the gym first thing in the morning because my phone starts ringing sometimes at 6 a.m. For sure by 7 a.m. That's when like construction starts, so it's early, but that's my time. To do that for myself. My family's still sleeping. I'm not worried about anybody else. And that just helps my energy all day, right? But I go to sleep at like 9. I'm an old lady. I am a boring old 90-year-old woman and I love it. I need sleep. Like I cannot function without a good amount of sleep. So, and I only get like 7.5 hours, but still, like
That's
I need
good.
that.
So
It, yeah.
you go to sleep at 9, you wake up at 5:30. Do you have like a wind down routine to be able to fall asleep that early, or by 9 you're just
Oh, I'm
exhausted, collapse
exhausted.
into bed?
I collapse and I pass out. Every
Okay.
day I look at my Fitbit and it's just like boom, deep sleep. She like passes out. And I think my brain, just so much going on in my brain at that point is just like done and I just pass out.
So
Thank
you go
God.
to sleep by 9, you wake up at 5:30. So walk
Yep.
us through your morning ritual.
Yeah. I mean, really it's going to the gym, then I come home, I get the kids ready for
What
school.
kind of workout do you do?
I do, it's called Shred 415. It's at a local gym here. So it's like part of it is treadmill, part of it is lifting. So you do like, it's split up in quarters. So the first quarter's on a treadmill, then you go to weights, then you go back to the treadmill, then weights. And so it's just good. It's a 45-minute workout. That's all I need.
And
Kicks my butt.
how many days a week do you do that?
I'm trying between 3 and 5, like worst case 3. I'm probably averaging around 4. I had a broken foot and I was literally dealing with that for the last few months and I was still going to the gym with a boot on. And finally the doctor
Wow.
was like, for the love of
Wait,
God,
you were
stop.
like doing the weights, but obviously not doing the treadmill
Yeah.
with a
Yeah,
boot
I
on.
just would do weights and just kind of stand there
That's
and 'cause I was
amazing.
like I need to do something and I felt like if I got out of that, right, then I'm going to be sleeping in and it's so hard to get back to it, you know, once you get out of it. So, you know, right now I just rejoined probably like a month ago. So I'm not like going 5 times a week because kind of my feet both still kind of hurt a little bit. So I'm trying to take it easy, but also I need that for my mental sanity. And I just like love doing it. So I'm like right now, like 3 to 4 days a week.
Okay, so like coffee, tea, supplements, like what are you doing before and after the gym, pre-workout?
Yeah. So I just drink 1 cup of black coffee before the gym. And
Okay.
then I drink tea quite a bit, and then I just drink water or like LaCroix or sparkling water throughout the day. It's
What kind of tea
just
do you
super
drink?
boring. Right now I like peppermint and apple cinnamon, and then I found a mango pineapple.
So you're not drinking caffeine.
Nope.
Do you want to know my biggest and best beauty secret? It is liquid collagen. I started drinking liquid collagen 3.5 years ago, and I am totally obsessed. I have never looked younger, fitter, leaner, stronger. My skin is glowing. My hair is thick and shiny. Eyebrows, eyelashes, nails, they're all growing, and I feel like I'm aging backwards. If you really want to know a huge hack to be balanced, beautiful, and abundant, you got to try this collagen. It is amazing. If you go to the show notes, you will get a $10 off coupon. If you buy 2 bottles, it's $25 off. And there's 2 versions. There's one for anti-aging and overall health, and there's another formula for fat loss. Both formulas are amazing. They taste great, and it's so easy to take. You just take a spoonful in the morning and a spoonful at night and just add it to your regimen. This stuff is off the charts. So make sure you go to the link in the show notes and grab yourself a couple bottles and tell me how much you love aging backwards. Thanks for watching the show, and we'll be back to our regular content now. Other than that
No,
one cup
no.
of black
Yeah,
coffee.
one
Well,
cup.
that's why you
And
can fall asleep at 9.
yeah. I mean, sometimes if I'm getting crazy, I'll have like 2 cups, but I almost can't even finish the second cup anymore. I like a latte, but really kind of I've just fallen into the one just black cup of coffee and that's it. And then I'm trying to eat pretty healthy. I have a major sweet tooth, so I like love cake, cookies, ice cream, all that. It's a little ridiculous, but I'm like, eat a vegetable for God's sake, so I'm trying to, I think like I'm overall a pretty healthy eater, but I'm not on a diet. I'm kind of like, I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. So I just eat, I'm an eater. I always have been, but I'm not on a diet. I don't restrict myself. I'm kind of like, well, if you die tomorrow, like eat the freaking cupcake. You know what I mean? Like it's just like eat pizza. I don't sit and like deprive myself because life's too short.
Yeah, that's very healthy. So you're pretty much eating what you want. And
Yeah.
so why do you think you're in good shape? Because of the workout?
I
You
probably,
just
I just am constantly moving. Like even when I was like when I don't move a lot, I get like 10,000 steps a day just 'cause I'm running, running around doing stuff. I think a lot of us are moms. It's like, how many times did I go upstairs, up and down the stairs today? It's ridiculous.
Then you go up
You
the stairs and you forget why, right? You're like,
Yes.
wait, why did I come up here?
Yeah, you're like, I was gonna bring the thing downstairs up, so I have to go back downstairs. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, so just wandering around, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, just trying to move my body. I love going outside and walking my dog. That's another thing is like for my mental sanity, getting outside, getting in this just the sunlight on your face, the fresh air, right? And just breathing. Sometimes I'm like in my office working, like, ah, and I have to go outside and be like, you're not the center of the universe. Just chill. Like, take a breath, calm down. You're all worked up, or you're just like, you're hustling, you're in the zone. But like, I really am trying to like actually do less and rest. And sometimes I just go lay on the couch and sit and do nothing for a few minutes. And it's like, that's okay. You know what I mean?
Sometimes you
You
have
don't
to
need to
slow
go, go,
down to
go.
speed up because I think
Yeah.
high achieving women, we get so like, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Because as an
Yes.
entrepreneur, there's always like 10 open tabs of things
Oh,
to do.
yeah. You
And
never
it's
finish
like
your to-do list
never,
ever.
ever. You can never just end the day like, oh, I did everything. There's always
I
like loose ends and
Yes.
just kind of giving yourself breaks and rest. And that's the whole meaning of the show is helping people to prevent burnout because
Yeah.
when you're just stressed out, you don't get more done. You actually get less done.
No. No, and it's like when I see myself getting into that kind of like it's being forced or I'm getting cranky or whatever, I literally pull back and say, go do something that I enjoy. Go sit outside, go read a book, go have lunch with a friend, whatever. Go just enjoy, do something that makes you happy. And then it resets your mindset. So for me, when I'm getting in that bad mindset or I'm getting I just don't enjoy it. I'm like, eh, you need to go build in some rest and build in some like time, you time.
Yeah, when you can feel yourself kind of getting frustrated and cranky and like, that feeling, it's like you're dancing on the borderline of burnout and it's time to like pull back and have some fun. What has I know you've gone through a lot of ups and downs in your life and your career. What do you think going through adversity and tough times has taught you about yourself and about life?
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, what it's taught me is life, that is the human existence, is that we will go through adversity. So, if you're not in it now, you'll be in it in a month or maybe 6 months. I mean, we all go through things, right? And so it's taught me to learn to be grateful right now, like when I'm in it and things are good, sit in it and enjoy it, right? And know that yes, something else will come, but I think over time going through things, you do develop that inner strength to be able to dig out and fight through. Back when I was in my 20s, I dealt with things differently. I didn't deal with them. I just didn't even know myself. Now I'm 41. I know myself so well and I know what I need. So it's like when I'm going through tough stuff now, if I need to go get a therapist, yep, I'm calling right away. Like I said, I really drastically reduced drinking because that's not helping your mindset if you're like really in it at that time. Like I
Used
said,
to drink alcoholically, like to check out.
no, I mean, not like a problem, but e even
Right.
for me, like as I'm getting older, I'll have two glasses of red wine, which I love, and I will literally have a headache the entire next day till I go to
Right.
bed. That's so crazy to me because that never used to happen. But it's like as I've gotten older, alcohol has affected me differently, and it really makes me feel like crap. I still drink from time to time, but I'll have a drink or two,
Yeah.
and I'm not drinking every night. But that's just for me, and it's not, I'm not saying if you drink, you're bad, not at all.
Right.
But for me, again, I was looking at how do I feel, and it wasn't. I don't have time to feel like crap all day. I have so, you know what I mean? I just can't function that way. I have to feel good or I am a mess. So it's like pulling, looking
Because
at
you're
those
doing so
things.
much. Like, it's not like when we're in our 20s, we have the luxury of like sleeping till noon and having a car. Like, there's too much to do. How
There
many
is.
kids do you have?
I have two boys, so 8 and 11.
Okay, great. And as busy as you are, how do you balance, like, because you're married, right? Being a mom, being married, your construction business, your speaking, like, how do you balance it all?
I really just kind of focus on trying to make memories, and spending good time. I do, like you said, being an entrepreneur, you're pretty much working all the time, whether you're writing down a note to do tomorrow or whatever, right? But I kind of have figured out how to fit running this company into my life. So, for example, last year I turned 40 and I was like, I want to turn 40 in Italy. And so my husband and I went there for 10 days and his parents came and watched our boys. We went there for 10 days. I run the entire company, and I have some employees out on the job sites, but I literally did everything for 10 days in Italy. And I had the best time ever. And I managed to do it all. And so I've been to Mexico numerous times. I'm going in a week, and I'll be working, I'll be running the company, taking client calls as needed or responding to emails, but I work in like little chunks. And so I still have an amazing vacation, but I run the company, so I don't really have a choice. Yes, I could hire someone else, but I'm just not at that point where I want to do that or I'm ready to do that. Down the road, yes. Or I'll take my kids skiing over winter break on a Tuesday. We'll ski, and then I'll go let them swim in the pool while I catch up on emails, or catch up. So I work really hard and I get a lot done. I'm very productive. But I've figured out how to actually live my life now and enjoy it because, we all hear, oh, these companies are successful, right? Down the road, and they're perceived as successful. But, let's say the CEO is miserable, their health's failing, their family hates them, they're getting a divorce, their kids never see them. what is the point? That's not success to me. To me, success is enjoying it now while I'm literally building the business. It's like enjoying my life and living it.
I totally agree. I think success is the amount of joy that we feel right
Yes, I
here,
love
right
that.
now. And if we're at a high school reunion, the most successful person is the most joyous person. And I
Yes.
like what you said. People think that because I teach keep your job and start a side hustle. And people think that having their own business means like 8 to 10 hours a day. If you're really good with time management and you can focus, you can
Yeah.
actually build a multi-million dollar business in the pockets of your day, 15,
Yes.
20 minutes, 30 minutes. I like the Pomodoro method. You set your phone timer for 25 minutes of concentrated work, and then that's it. That's the end of the work session. And if you're super focused, if you're not checking your Facebook notifications, if you're not checking your email,
Yeah.
if you're not responding to phone calls or texts for 25 minutes of complete focus, you would be amazed about how much you can get done. And you're an example of that.
Yes.
You're running a successful construction business, in the nooks and crannies of your day, which is
Yes.
absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
So let's talk about some habits. Like, I know because the way that you're living your life is exactly what I teach about being an entrepreneur, having it all. Like, what are some habits or strategies you could share with the audience about? Because you started doing both at the same time for 2 years. You had your job and then you started. So, what are some habits about side hustles, like lifestyle, that you could teach the audience?
Yeah, well, kind of just in general, one thing I've learned that I've really stepped into is having boundaries and looking how are you spending your time? Because yes, as moms, entrepreneurs, we have a million things going on. I guarantee we're juggling a million things. But like, and some people are so miserable. Oh, because they sign their kid up, each kid up for like three sports or three things. It's like, yeah, well, obviously your life is going to be pure chaos, right? You actually can pull that back if it's not fitting your lifestyle and it's not making you happy. Or if it is, great, right? But for me, it's like looking how I'm filling my time. For example, I have a lot of bankers and insurance people constantly reaching out to me. Hey, I'd love to take you to coffee and just see how I can support you. And while that's nice and great, I don't have time for that. It's a waste of my time. I'm not switching insurance companies. I'm not switching banks. So it's a waste of their time too. So I nicely now, I just don't go back. When I started the company, I went to every meeting I was asked. Now I don't do that because I know what my time is worth and it's a
What
waste for
is,
me.
how do you say no to someone nicely when they ask you to coffee and you're not interested in what they're
Yeah.
selling? What, how
I mean,
would you?
it's hard because I'm the nice girl. I always feel bad, right?
Yeah.
But I kind of now just say, unfortunately, right now my schedule is crazy and I'm not taking any new meetings or something like that, I appreciate the offer, but I just want to be upfront. Like it's not really worth your time. I'm not trying to switch banks or whatever. I try to just make it very simple and people are just like, fine, whatever, but also, certain events, there's a lot of night construction events or like happy hour time, right? And I'm picking up my kids from school. So if I really want to be there, I'll be there. I will figure it out. But if I don't, I won't. And it's like, am I just going to show my face? Is it really, or is it for one of my really good clients and I want to be there to support them? Or, I look at what I'm being asked to do and do I really need and want to be there? And if I don't, if it's not like a gut yes, I don't go. And I've
Yes, I
really kind of
totally
pulled back
agree.
more. Yeah.
Walk away from the heck maybes, and if it's not a
Yeah.
heck yes, it's a heck no.
Yeah. And no one's even going to notice you weren't there. Like, it's going to be fine. You know what I mean? Just put your time into things that really matter. And then I don't know. And if people get mad at us for having boundaries, whatever. I just don't care anymore. I'm like, I told a friend the other day, I'm at 41. I finally just am done pleasing other people or doing things to be nice. And maybe some people think I'm mean, but I'm not. I'm living my life, right? And I'm not letting other people suck my energy, suck my time, or just be negative. And also, like, who are you spending your time with? We all have such limited personal time. Are you, I mean, really, are we really spending time with like mean girls at this point? No, come on. You know what I mean? Like, move on. Have some respect for yourself and who, when you leave, you know in your gut if you feel like they're talking about you or you don't feel supported or seen, you know, then you need to find a new tribe.
Well, that's one of my last questions. I know that before we hit record, you talked about the importance of networking and how working with certain coaches and mentors put you in the room with different people and it really up-leveled your career. So, what stories or advice or strategies do you have about up-leveling your tribe and networking and being around people that can actually accelerate you?
I mean, in the last year, probably year and a half, like honestly, I have met so many people, but I'm so if I'm at an event and I hear a speaker and I just really love their energy, I go talk to them after. You know, and maybe I'll join their mastermind. Maybe I will connect with different events they have. But it's like you have to be willing to invest some money and invest some time if you really want to up, because everything that happens is based off who you know. That's just the fact. It's you could be amazing, but if you don't know the right people to get you connected or to the right places, it's not going to happen. So you really, once you start like opening yourself up to that and looking at what, okay, there's this person, right? Let's just say Jenny. What value can I provide to Jenny? I'm not just asking her for things. I'm not asking her for anything. I'm getting to know her. How can I support her? Maybe she has a new business. I'm sharing it on Instagram. Maybe she's going to be on my podcast so she can talk about her business. Maybe, you know, whatever. I'm promoting her book or whatever. It's truly how you will grow is they know if you're just asking and you're wanting, right? Or and it's not genuine, but how, what value are you providing to them first, always, you know, and keep that is what it, how you need to approach everything, really.
Well, one of my favorite mentors, David Meltzer, and I'm so excited. I was actually on his podcast a couple
Oh,
weeks ago.
awesome.
He has the famous question, first, how can I help you? And then, who do you know that can help me? And
I
if
love
you ask
David.
those two questions, yeah, you can be just a champion at networking. So
Absolutely.
last question, if you had a billboard on the side of the road, and it could only say one thing about your advice or your best philosophy, what would your billboard say, Chelsea?
I think it would say, stop trying to be perfect. Let's own our imperfect, beautiful, hot mess selves. And like actually step out authentically into your life with really who you are. The world needs who you are, not some perfect version of yourself.
Yes, that's so beautiful. Authenticity is the highest vibration. And I think your message about being unapologetic is so valuable because women are apologizing constantly. I tell my clients, stop saying I'm sorry all the time. You're not sorry. Like you're allowed to run 5 minutes late or, you know, bump somebody's elbow in the store. Like just stop apologizing and own your space and own who you are and be perfectly imperfect. And I like to say I'm striving for imperfection today. Because if
Yes,
I
I love
strive
that.
for imperfection, I am going to hit the nail on the head every time. Boom, a construction analogy for a contract.
Love it, love it.
Chelsea, how can people find out about your book? How can they find it out more about you? Where are you hanging out on social?
The best place is probably my website. It's just chelseahewsome.com. On there's my book, speaking stuff, events, social links, but I'm probably on Instagram the most. But yeah, and the website's probably the best place.
Awesome. And one more time, your website is
Chelsea, Chelsea Husum, Husum.com. And I also have on there, I have a freebie. It's your unapologetic life workbook. So it's like it pops up. And it's really, I created that. It's super fun and sassy, but it's like if you're kind of in a funk, these are the things that I go through to be like, okay, let's get through this and get back on track. So if you want to check that out, feel free.
amazing. Thank you so much for the gift. Well, this is so amazing. Here you have it. We're on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. You are listening to an entrepreneur who is balanced, beautiful, and abundant. These are the types of shows we have. So keep listening to the show, keep giving us those 5-star reviews, and share this episode with a friend. And until we meet again, I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. Wow, what an amazing show! I got so much value out of that, and I hope you did too. I would love to help you get unstuck. Which of the 7 key areas of life do you feel blocked in? Maybe you are stuck in your love life and can't manifest your soulmate. Maybe you just can't lose that last 10 pounds. Maybe you are burned out and want to get out of your job and create a 6-figure side hustle. I have great news for you. I am offering 3 complimentary breakthrough calls this week for the women and the men that are ready to get unstuck. This is a free 45-minute coaching call that I am offering to my listeners. Just go to the link in the show notes. And for those of you ready to really have the time of your life and end 2024 on an incredible note, you will want to learn more about the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, October 3rd through 6th in Belize City, Central America. Not only will you learn how to get all 7 areas of your life to a level 10 to end the year with momentum, but you will enjoy pampering in a luxury spa with healthy food, yoga, and sound bath. We will be having an incredible time on the beach, in the pool, walking around the beautiful city. It's in a private island, and it's just something that will be the best decision you ever made. I can't wait to spend a weekend with you in Belize City, Central America, on a private island. So if you're looking for more information on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, make sure you go to my link in the show notes. And for everybody else, thank you so much for supporting the show. We love our listeners, your reviews, your subscriptions, sharing this podcast with your friends and family is really getting the word out there that you do not have to go through life burned out. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Make sure you tune in next week, and we'll see you soon. Bye.